And so to me, it is exciting when the lights are on or off. The Word of God stands forever. Amen? Well, we're excited to be here with you today. Word of Life is not only here, but around the world. We're in 64 countries, 85 locations, holding forth the Word of Life. And our mission statement says this: reaching youth with the gospel of Christ. We're about evangelism and discipleship of the youth through the Holy Scriptures, through various means to build up the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have two of our men right here that work right in the Texas area. It says, stand up, guys. Two of our missionaries. You come up and see them afterwards. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. I wasn't born in a Christian home. Matter of fact, my father lived and died an alcoholic. And I didn't grow up in church. I grew up in bars. And one day, a Christian businessman heard about me, and he said, hey, Joe, he said, how would you like to go to Word of Life Island? And I turned around and I said, Word of Life Island. You see, I was born and raised in Florida. I said, Word of Life Island, is anything like Gilligan's Island? He said, no, it's better. I said, okay, where is it? He said, it's Groom Lake, New York. Now, never being outside the state of Florida, I said, where in the world is Groom Lake, New York? And he said, it's in the heart of the Adirondack Mountains. I said, oh, mountains, that'd be awesome. The only thing I'd seen was a little sand dune from a phosphate pit called Sand Mountain. So I said, oh, that'd be exciting. Well, what is it? He said, it's an island just for teenagers. I said, what do they do? He said, they play all kinds of sports and they have great time. And I said, well, what else? He said, girls go. I said, sign me up, I'm going. So they put me on a bus and I headed all the way from Lakeland, Florida, Scroon Lake, New York, 24-hour drive. I got off that bus and they said, you're going over to Word of Life Island on a speedboat. I said, wow, I've never been on a speedboat. Got on that speedboat, zoom, right over to Word of Life Island. When I got off, there was a little man about this tall, white hair, full of all the enthusiasm you can think of. And he met me and he grabbed my hand. He had a funny way of talking. And he grabbed my hand and he said, welcome, Word of Life Island. I said, whoa. Then he said, you're going to meet Jesus on this island. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, where? Pine Pavilion. That's a meeting hall. I said, when? He said, tonight. So I walked around there looking for Jesus when I walked in. Packed with teenagers, over 500. And they were singing. There was excitement. And this guy was on the platform. And then he got up and he said, testimony time. Now, honest, the only testimony I knew about was before a judge, and I didn't know what they were going to do. But kids were popping up and sharing their favorite Bible verse. Now, you need to know me. I was the type of kid I never wanted to be left out, so I raised my hand. And I said, John 3:16, sir. And he looked right at me, and he said, and what does John 3:16 say? No clue. Everyone stared at me. So I turned back, and I said, you know, I'm a little surprised a man like you, after all these years, and you still don't know what John 3:16 says. I said, you better get off that platform and let someone tell us. And Jack Worksman popped up to that platform, and he said, thou will tell you, you must be born again. And that was June 24, 1961. And friends, I've never gotten over it. And it's so wonderful to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this same man that I told you about, Don Robbie Robertson, he was quite a witness, and he was a character. And he was in the northern part of Maine. Now, I know Dr. Patterson loves to hunt. He's a big game hunter. Well, this guy hunted for men, you know. So he's there, and he's in a barber shop. The guy's clipping his hair. So the barber says, and so what do you do? He said, I'm a hunter. Oh, you're a hunter. It was hunting season there in Maine. He said, well, where is your arm? He said, my back pocket. And so, you know, the barber got a little nervous. He said, well, what are you hunting for? He said, you. You must be born again. You must be born again. Well, you know, it's interesting to note that our Lord was so accustomed to nature, too. And he taught not just about hunting, but about fishing. And he's a big game fisherman. And he's going to give some fishing lessons. I want you to turn with me to a portion of scripture this morning, quickly. We want to look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Well, I have a Bible reading this morning. You follow along in the scriptures. I want you to just listen to the Word of God. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and begged him, that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night, have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had this done and enclosed a great multitude of fishes, their net brake. Verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. So it was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they brought their ships to the land, they forsook all. Okay, let me see if I can get my flashlight. You guys just listen, okay? And they forsook all and followed him. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to consider this portion of your word, we would pray that you would speak to each heart in a special way. Thank you again for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. And speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Fishing lessons. Have you ever noticed how many of our Lord's great lessons were acquainted with fish and what he was doing as he was calling a group of men to set out to touch this world with the gospel? Well, we know that there were two wonderful miracles that had to do with the miraculous catch of fish. One right here in Luke 5 at the very beginning of our Lord's ministry, and then another in John's Gospel, chapter 21. After the resurrected Christ met them again in Galilee, he was still teaching them about fishing. At Word of Life, our main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. To reach youth with the gospel of Christ and disciple them in the Word of God. You know, just this last year, by God's grace and for his glory, over 3 million were in some of our meetings, either meetings or one-on-one around the world as we were sharing the gospel. Here our Lord, he is with a group of men. Now do you remember what happened there in Matthew chapter 4? There in verse 19, when our Lord said, Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Jack Wertzen, the founder of Word of Life, used to say this, If you're not fishing, you're not following. But here our Lord, again, he was going to teach these men some great lessons about fishing. You're right here at the seminary and the Bible college because you're concerned about the Word of God and the souls of men. By the way, do you know there are only two things that are eternal? The Word of God and the souls of men. And that's what we're committed to. But here our Lord would teach these men. Now, they were students just like a lot of the students here at the Word of Life Bible Institute. Sometimes they would hear the lesson and not quite catch it. So our Lord would repeat it again and again and again. I want you to think with me what our Lord was doing. You see, he was going to teach them about fishing. I love what Isby says about fishermen. You know, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, ISBE. We had a lot of that back in Bible college and also seminary, ISBE. But ISBE says this: the fishermen's exposure to all kinds of weather made them hardy and fearless. They were accustomed to bear with patience many trying circumstances. They often toiled for hours without success, and yet were always ready to try it again. Isn't that awesome what ISBE says right there? What does our Lord want to teach these men about fishing? I want to share with you three lessons I want to drop in your heart today. Great things as we're thinking about fishing. The first lesson is about the Word of God. The Word of God. What does the Word of God have to do about fishing? Check these words out as we're reading right here in Luke 5. In verse 4. Here's our Lord. He says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, and here's what I love. Catch this. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. The word of God. At thy word, at thy word, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Now, here I want you to catch this. The word of God, it's a mandate. You know, many times we get into Bible college, seminary, and Bible Institute, and we have them around the world. I'll be leaving in a few days going over to Europe, and I'll be in Berlin at one of our Bible Institutes there. But we miss it. We think that the whole thing of the Word of God is about this. It's about just observing the facts of the Word of God. That's not it. It's also about obeying by faith the Word of God. Now the key aspect right here is this. A lesson concerning the Word of God. I want to show you the Word of God is greater than certain things you'll face when you go fishing. Check this out. Don't miss it. The Word of God is greater than our expertise. Greater than our expertise. Now watch this. Here are these men. They're fishermen. That was their trade. They were experts. They knew how to fish. And here's our Lord, born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, now in the Galilee, telling them how to fish. And here he's going to say to our Lord, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net, because your word is greater than all my expertise. Now, I don't know about you, but I have to tell you this. Every time I have the privilege of ministering the word of God, I know one thing, that all spiritual work is done by the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, to move in lives and hearts of people. And the Word of God is greater than all my expertise. Now watch this. Because the Word of God directs you to fruitfulness. I want to tell you something today. The Lord knows where the greatest fishing holes are at. He knows where they're at. And here these men, they've been laboring, laboring. They've thrown the net over there and over yonder. And he said, no, no, no. You put it down here. And I love what Peter said. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Friends, I want to tell you something. If you think you're going to fish for men and reach people for all eternity just on your expertise, you will utterly fail. Listen, now watch this. It's greater than the word. The word is greater than my expertise. Watch this. It's greater than my experience. It's greater than my experience. Here's what he says. He says, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Lord, we've been at it. This is my experience. I've done it and there's no fish. But I want to tell you this today. The word of God is greater than all your experience. And when we get in trouble, it's when we try to determine what is about the spiritual life through our experience. Now watch this. Our experience needs to come through the Word of God. The Word of God is greater than my experience. And why is that? Because, watch this, I love this, delivers me from frustration. We've labored all night, Lord. We've caught nothing. And here the Lord says, listen, I got to tell you, my word is not only greater than your expertise, it's greater than your experience. It will deliver you from frustration. And I will tell you this today, after years of serving Christ, if I bank on the word of God and not my experience, I am delivered from a frustrating life of ministry. Now watch this. A lesson about the word of God is greater than my expertise. Oh yes, it is. It directs me to fruitfulness. It is greater than my experience. It delivers me from frustration. And I love this. It's greater than my exhaustion. We've toiled all night. The word here is to the point of exhaustion. We're exhausted, Lord. We can't fish again. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there in ministry where you're so exhausted you don't think you can put one foot in front of the other or you can speak or open your mouth? But I'm here to tell you, the word of God is greater than all your exhaustion, because it will declare you and to you the fountain of power found through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God and the word of God. I've seen some of the greatest results when I've been so tired I couldn't think straight. We see thousands and thousands come to Christ every single year. But I know this. It's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. And it's greater than my exhaustion, because the Word of God is the fountain of all power. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen. Fishing lessons. It's a lesson about the Word of God. May I just pause and ask you a question right here quickly? Do you trust the Word of God more than your expertise? You know, because the Word of God will direct you to fruitfulness. Do you trust the Word of God more than your experience? Because the Word of God will deliver you from frustration. Do you trust the Word of God more than your exhaustion? Because the Word of God will declare to you the fountain of power through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So what do we see right here? Well, the first lesson is the lesson about the Word of God. Check this out. The next lesson is the lesson about the work of God. Now, if you go through this passage, you see the Word of God is a mandate. The work of God is a miracle. Sometimes we sing, it took a miracle. And you know, of all the miracles of our Lord in Scripture, I'm here to tell you today, the greatest miracle in all the world is the transformation of someone that moves from light or darkness to light, from death to life. It's that miracle. It's that miracle. Verse 6 and 7, I love it. Listen to these words. And when they had done this, when they had done this, when they had obeyed, they had closed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. And watch this in verse 7. And they beckoned their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come over and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships, so they began to sink. I love it when I think about the work of God. It's a miracle. Can I just show you a few things right out of the text that this miracle does? Listen carefully. It brings success in the ministry. You see, when God's at work in this miracle work, it brings about success. You see, when they obeyed the word of God and got active in the work of God, God did a miracle and there was a miraculous catch of fish, and they became not frustrated fishermen, but successful fishermen. I just want to tell you today, if you want to have success in the work of God, you will obey the word of God. And there you will see the miracle of God. And in that miracle, what will you see? You will see success. Here's something else that I see from the text. It not only brings success, it brings about a wonderful sharing. They were so many fish, they couldn't handle it. They said, they beckoned them over. Can't you just see Peter? Hey guys, come over here. We can't handle this. And the other ship came over and they were filled and they were blessed. I want to tell you this, in the work of God, when it's a very miraculous work of God, it brings success, but it brings about a tremendous sharing in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And others get involved. When Jack Wurtzer first started preaching, he preached on the street corners of New York City. He was an insurance salesman. He took a soapbox and he started to preach. People started to get saved. Other people got involved. That's the reason it was called Word of Life Fellowship. You know, I'm here today because I love and appreciate and honor your president, Dr. Paige Patterson. We've had some wonderful times of fellowship. It's a fellowship in the gospel. But when, boy, those fish start coming in, and when they're a success, you say, man, I can't handle all this. Come over and help me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brings about a sharing. Brings about success. It brings about a sharing. But I love this one. It brings about a showing forth of the glory of God. You see, there are different words in the Greek text for miracle. But one which is used so much in John's gospel is the word for sign. And these were signs of the very deity of Christ and his messiahship. And when the miracles were done, they weren't just done to meet human needs, but to manifest divine glory. And the glory was shining on him, the Savior, the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Have you learned a lesson in the work of God that as you depend on the Word of God, he is the one that brings success? Amen? He's the one that brings success. It's not all the marketing schemes. It's not all the pushing of names around. It's the sovereign Lord that brings about this success in a miraculous way. But when he brings it about, you don't just keep it for yourself. There's a sharing in the ministry. Others get involved. And there's excitement right there. But the greatest thing that happens is people start to realize that God is work and at work. And it's a showing forth of his glory. We went to Argentina and we were just 24. And it was exciting to arrive there. Before we went to Argentina, my wife went to see a doctor in Jacksonville. And he said she could have no children. So, you know, we were sort of set on that. But we were still burdened. We wouldn't have children. And several years went by, and we were in our apartment in Buenos Aires. And the phone rings one night. And a friend calls up. And he said, hey, how would you like to be parents? And I said, oh, we'd love to be parents. And he said, I'll be right over. I said, whoa, what is this? A half an hour later, he placed in our hands little baby girl, 20 days old. I looked at my wife and I said, I love this. It's better than 9 months. It's 30 minutes and you look great, baby. But a year after that, she was expecting and then she had one and two. First, we couldn't get started. Then we couldn't stop having kids. But you know how it is. But we gave this little girl the name Gracia. Grace. A wonderful story of her life. Just a wonderful story and how she came to Christ. Less than about a year ago, and now she's 37, about a year ago, she had the experience with us to see her birth mom. It was a prostitute who wanted to put her in a plastic bag and throw her in the river. And she was there trying to speak to her birth mom about Christ. She called me over and I spoke to her about the Lord. But just a wonderful, wonderful lady. Well, you know, she was married and for the first years they couldn't have children. And then one day the phone rings, and they had to go down to a hospital in New Jersey. We went with them. And there was a young girl who was a Christian who got in trouble. But she said, because of one mistake, I'm not going to make two. I'm going to have this baby. And she said, but this baby deserves a mommy and daddy. So, it was quite an experience. I'd never been in a meeting like this, friends. Never. I've been in a lot of meetings, but never one like this. And she was there in this little chapel, had her little baby, 2 days old. Our daughter and son-in-law were there, and his parents were there, and we were there. The girl's mom and dad were there, and her grandparents were there, and her pastor was there. And after a while, she got up and she said, I had to write this out because I knew I couldn't make it. And she started to say, son, you need to know that your mother did a very horrible thing. She sinned against God. But she loves you very much, and because she loves you, she's going to make sure you have a mommy and daddy. And I always loved him. And then she walked over and she placed that little baby in our daughter's arms, and I could see a tear come down her cheek. And the circle was complete. And you know, just the way things go, a year after that, about or so, our daughter was expecting. She had a beautiful little baby girl. Now her baby boy, the little boy they adopted, his name was Michael. Michael's quite a character. And Michael just today sent an email to his grandma. I want to read this to you. Michael sat down and wrote his biography. He's 9, okay? He's 9. Now listen to this. He said, dear Grammy, my biography is linked to this email. I hope you're having a good time in Texas. Say hi to Mr. and Mrs. Horner. I love you, Michael. And then Michael wrote his biography. Check this out. This is awesome. He says, my biography by Michael. And he said, I was born August 27th, 2000. I was born in Morristown, New Jersey. 2 days after I was born, I was adopted. My mother was adopted too. The mother that gave birth to me was Julie. She gave me away because she wanted me to have a mother and a father. At this time, she wasn't married yet. At my birthday and at Christmas, she'll send me some gifts, along with a card and some fresh pictures. My mother got married in 2007. She had a child. My full name is Michael Andres Lehman. Andres means Andrew. The child's name that she had is Andrew. He was born December 2007. Then he puts this, I'm a hyper child, and I plan to make history. Michael. I had the joy of leading Michael to Christ. And I've had the privilege of leading a lot to Christ. But to lead Michael to Christ, to see the circle come around, is pretty awesome. And I see all this in grace, the glory of God. You see, the master fisherman was teaching some fishing lessons, and he said, I want to teach you about the Word of God. It is greater than your expertise, it's greater than your experience, it's greater than your exhaustion. You trust the Word of God. I want to teach you about the work of God. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. You just need to know that. And when that miracle comes about, you have success in the ministry. You share in the ministry, but you show forth my glory in the ministry. There's one more lesson, and I close with this. It's a lesson about the worship of God. In all this, it ends up with worship. I want you to see it. After the ships would begin to sink because of all the fish, verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Look at verse 9. For he was astonished, seized with amazement, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. Worship. See, Simon Peter there fell down on his knees at the feet of Jesus. Listen to me. If you're fishing right, the end product will be you will end up worshiping God. Did you know one of the words for worship is really a word for service? Our reasonable service, the only logical way to worship God. You see, true fishing should flow out of a life of worship. I want you to see this. Have you ever thought the first time that worship's ever used in scriptures in Genesis 22? When there, Abraham offers up Isaac, and he said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. But catch this. What is this worship of God all about? Number one, it'll bring you to see yourself as you are. Here's Simon Peter. He said, for I'm a sinful man. God becomes so big and you become so small that you realize what the dimensions are all about. Do you remember that wonderful portion in Isaiah chapter 6? When Isaiah, as he saw the Lord, he said, woe is me. You see, this starts about it brings you to see the poverty of your sin. Number two, it brings you to see the power of his hand. The power of his hand. You know, one of the great things about being out in nature is to see the very power of God in creation. But as you're fishing, and you're blown away to see how many fish are in that boat, you know, it's not you, it's God. Power. But then it brings you not only to see your poverty and his power, but his person. You see, he fell down and he said, Lord, Master, Kurios, I fall down at your feet. He recognized him as God. The Apostle Paul, describing the gospel, as he wrote to the church in Thessalonica, said it's the gospel of God. It's God's message, not mine. You see, our poverty and his power and his person. But watch this. It's wonderful in this worship aspect because it ends up helping us to see his program. Look with me at this verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Really, in the Greek text, you know what it is? You'll catch men alive. Now, I have friends that are great fishermen. They catch some whopper fish. And just like you see some marvelous trophies in Dr. Patterson's office, they have these trophies of these fish. But you ever stop and think about it? They caught something that was alive and it became dead. But here he says you're going to catch something that's dead and it'll become alive. Hallelujah. That's it. That's his program. To bring life to those who are dead in their trespasses and sins. You'll catch men alive. Peter, you've been spending your life catching a live fish and they end up being dead. And now, Peter, you're going to catch some dead men and they're going to become alive. Hallelujah. That's worship. I close with a poem. It's really a reading. It's entitled, Whatever Became of Evangelism. You know, I want to tell you, friends, I see very few biblically correct evangelists who are empowered by the Spirit of God in seeing throngs of people coming to Christ. Whatever became of evangelism? Check this out. Now it came to pass that a group existed who called themselves fishermen. And lo, there were many fish and waters all around. In fact, the whole area was surrounded by streams and the lakes filled with fish. And the fish were hungry week after week, month after month, and year after year. Those who called themselves fishermen met in meetings and talked about their call to fish. The abundance of fish, how they might go about fishing year after year. They carefully defined what fishing means, defended fishing as an occupation, declared that fishing is always to be the primary task of fishermen. These fishermen built large, beautiful buildings for local fishing headquarters. The plea was that everyone should be a fisherman and every fisherman should fish. One thing they didn't do, however, they didn't fish. In addition to meeting regularly, they organized a board to send out fishermen to other places where there were many fish. The board was formed by those who had the great vision and courage to speak about fishing, to define fishing, to promote the idea of fishing in faraway streams and lakes where many other fish of different colors lived. Also, the board hired staffs and appointed committees and held many meetings and defined fishing, to defend fishing, to decide what new streams should be brought about. But the staff and the committee members did not fish. Large, elaborate, expensive training centers were built whose original and primary purpose was to teach fishermen how to fish. Over the years, courses were offered on the needs of the fish, the nature of the fish, how to define fish, the psychological reactions of fish, how to approach and feed fish. Those who taught had doctorates in fishology, but the teachers did not fish. They only taught fishing. Further, the fishermen built large printing houses to publish fishing guides. Presses were kept busy night and day to produce materials solely devoted to fishing methods, equipment, and programs, to arrange and encourage meetings to talk about fishing. Notice this. A speaker's bureau was also provided to schedule special speakers on the fishing, a subject of fishing. After one stirring meeting on the necessity of fishing, one young fellow left the meeting on fishing. The next day, he reported that he caught two outstanding fish. He was honored for his excellent catch and scheduled to visit all the big meetings possible to tell how he did it. So he quit his fishing in order to have time to tell about the experience to other fishermen. He was also placed on the fisherman's general board as a person having considerable experience. Now, it's true that many of the fishermen sacrificed and put up with all kinds of difficulties. Some lived near the waters and bore the smell of dead fish. They received the ridicule of some who made fun of their fishermen's clubs and the fact that they claimed to be fishermen yet never fished. They wondered about those who felt it little use to attend and talk about fishing. After all, were they not following the master who said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men"? Imagine how hurt some were. One day a person suggested that those who don't fish were not really fishermen, no matter how much they claimed to be. Yet, it did sound correct. If a person is a fisherman, if year after year he never catches a fish, is one following if he isn't fishing? Now, as these 3 years we move into a new millennium, evangelism is a popular subject for conferences, congresses, periodicals, numerous books, but so few fish. Did you know out of the first 67 colleges and universities that were began in the United States, they started to train ministers fishing? Just read the mission statement of Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and others. The tragedy is this, that we can spend our time training and then not fish. You know what I love about your president? He loves to fish and hunt for men. The greatest men I've ever known were fishers of men. Jack Worship was one. But our Lord was a master fisherman. And he says, if you're going to fish, you need to learn about the Word of God. It's a mandate. Obey it. Need to learn about the work of God. It's a miracle. Get involved in it. You need to learn about the worship of God. Oh, it's marvelous. Experience it. And if you do, one day when you face our Lord, you won't have an empty net, but it'll be full of fish.